Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called Step Up. And in this series, we're talking about taking your life to the next level. So thank you for coming, and thank you for joining with us today. If you would, open up your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to be looking today at verses 24 and 25 as we begin. If you're not familiar with the Bible, Proverbs is about in the middle of the Bible. So if you just kind of split it right in the middle there, you can find it there. Also, if you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the pew right there in front of you, and you're welcome to use that. You're welcome to take that if you need a Bible. And actually, the page number for the pew Bible, it's actually right there on the front page, down there where it says text. It gives the page number as well. If you're using a device, your phone or your iPad or whatever, again, it's Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verses 24 and 25. So today we're talking about a very important topic called Step Up for Generosity. And so far in this series, we've talked about Step Up for God, Step Up for Faith, Step Up for Health, and Step Up for Finances. And I would encourage you, if you missed any of those messages, all of them are available at our website, capitalbaptist.org. And there's a little tab there, a button that says listen, and you can listen to any of the messages, or you can download. There's an app called Sermon Audio, and you can actually download that app and go directly to our messages. And I would encourage you to go back and look at these messages, because they're all about helping you go to the next level. And I know that each of us, you know, we want to go to that next level. We want to be all that we can be. We want to improve our lives to the max. And so go back and check some of those things out. Now, today we're going to talk about Step Up for Generosity. Now, when we think about life in our lives, there's kind of two ways to live. And one life is a life of greed. You can live a life of greed. Now, the life of greed is really focused on self, right? It's focused on getting. It's focused on ourselves. And what we have to understand about that kind of life is it's a miserable lifestyle. I mean, you will never find happiness in you. Do you understand that? When you focus on yourself, according to God's word, not according to Steve Reynolds, but according to God's word, I mean, you're never going to experience the blessed life. So you need to look at your life. If you're struggling with your happiness in life, one of the things you need to understand is you're probably a selfish person, and you're focused on yourself too much. But then there's the other lifestyle, and that's the way God designed us to live, and that is the generous lifestyle. The generous lifestyle is a selfless life. It's giving of ourselves. It's being generous of ourselves. And so today we're specifically going to talk about Step Up for Generosity. And this kind of dovetails with our message last week was about finances. Now, last week we did touch a little bit on giving. But mainly, that was a message to help you manage your money. And I shared what I feel are the five most foundational things you need to step up with when it comes to managing your money. So again, if you missed that message, I would like to encourage you to check that out. Today, we're going to kind of go over on the other side, and we're going to look at specifically generosity when it comes to giving of money. Now, there are many ways to be generous. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your talents. There's lots of ways to be generous, but today, we're going to specifically focus on the area of money. In Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 25 was our key verse. If you use what we call the growth guide and keep up with the growth guide, you know that verse 25 was our key verse. But I want to read 24 and 25 today, because these two go together. And Proverbs, remember, Proverbs is the book that describes wise living, what it is to be a wise person. And here it says in Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul, I love that statement, the generous soul shall be made rich, or sometimes that Hebrew word is translated blessed, blessed. And he who waters will also be watered himself. So what are these two verses about? These two verses are about generosity. And it gives a contrast between the greedy person and the generous person. See the contrast? It's there. It says there are those who scatter. Now this is the generous person. They scatter. They give of themselves and they give of their resources. And yet they increase. They increase because that's what giving provides. You know, as we fulfill our purpose, the way God designed us to live, God blesses us. And then there are those that withhold. I mean, they hold in. They're not going to give a tithe. They're not going to honor God with a tithe. They're going to hold on to it. They're going to hold on to more than is right. See that? They hold, in other words, yes, we have to have money to live our lives, to pay our bills, all that kind of stuff. But God does have a standard for giving, and that's at least give a tithe. And when you don't give a tithe, that means 10%. You're withholding more than is right, okay? And it leads to poverty, okay? It leads to financial problems. It leads to financial difficulties, you know? But then it says the generous soul. What about that generous person? Well, they're made rich. God, rich not just financially necessarily. Okay, there's many ways to be rich, but the idea there is to be rich as far as blessed. They live a blessed life. I mean, they live a happy life. And then he who waters, those that are generous, they will be watered themselves. They will be. In other words, when you fulfill your purpose of being generous and you water others and you give of your resources, God waters you. Jesus said in Acts 24, verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said. Now, this is a cool verse here, okay? This is one of the coolest verses of the Bible for one reason, okay? This is a quote from Jesus that's not in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke, not in John. All right, so you won't ever find this in any of the four gospel records. But this is a, if you have a red letter edition Bible, okay, you will see it's red, okay, it's red. And the red words are not more important than the black words, by the way, okay, because he is the word, okay. So all the word is equally important from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. But some Bibles put in red the words that Jesus spoke while he was on this earth. And if you have a what we call a red letter edition Bible, you will see this in red. But it's not in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke, not in John. It's one of the only ones in the Bible like this. There's a few others, but there's hardly any, okay? And Luke, who wrote Acts, was a witness to Jesus, who spent time with Jesus. And he says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. What do Proverbs and what do this verse have in common? Well, they teach this principle. The generous person is the blessed person. The generous person is the blessed person. I mean, honestly, listen closely to me. If you ever get to this point in your Christian life, you have reached a major milestone. When you literally get to a point, okay, and this requires spiritual growth, this requires spiritual maturity. But hopefully one day you're going to get to a point in your Christian life where you truly can say, you know, some of you looking at that verse saying, that's a cool verse, must be true, Jesus said it, whatever, it's in the Bible. But is it your testimony? See, there comes a point in your Christian development that you reach a tipping point where you literally, literally would rather give than receive. I mean, you literally, if you had a choice to get something or give something, you would rather give because you have learned the blessedness of that. You have learned the blessedness of a generous lifestyle. And I'm telling you, when you get to that point, you've reached a major milestone in your Christian growth. And some of you maybe aren't there yet, but you're going to get there. Just keep growing. Just keep maturing, you know, and keep moving forward. But here's the deal. It's the blessed life. It's the happy life. Again, greedy people are miserable people, okay? because they're totally focused on themselves. You weren't designed to live your life focused on yourself. You were best, okay, the best life is the generous life. Now, with that in mind, let's go to page 2 of our notes, and let's talk about this when it comes to how to step up for generosity. Now, I want you to listen closely to me today. I'm sure you're going to anyway. All right. But let me explain to you about pastoring, okay? You know, you don't know much about pastoring because you're not a pastor. Most of you are, okay? I believe my number one job, you say, what do pastors do anyway? You just get up there. You know. Do you know that Sunday's actually my easiest day? Most people don't know that about pastoring. You know, here's the only day you work. Honestly, this is my easiest day of the week. That's true. I'm being honest with you, okay? I mean, it's hard to sleep all the time or whatever. I'm just teasing you, okay? I work about 78 hours a week and have done it for well over 30 years, okay? But here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? What you got to understand, okay, what you got to realize is that I believe my number one job is to get you ready for the judgment seat of Jesus. I don't believe I have anything more important to do than to get you ready for what I think is going to be the most important day of your life. Easter Sunday, we're going to be starting a series called The Life Hereafter. And I'm going to talk about what is going to happen 5 minutes after you die. In fact, 1 minute after you die. What are you going to experience 1 minute after you die? We're going to launch a series Easter, where the next series is going to be God, Romance, and Marriage. And I know some of you saw that in your program, and I saw a lot of you were sweating and like getting all excited and everything else, okay? God, Romance, and Marriage. So you don't want to miss out on that one, okay? Because whether you're young or old, single or married, we all deal with romance, right? Yes, you do, okay? You have not died yet, okay? But the point is, all right? And then we're going to look at this. Well, here's the deal. All I'm saying is, one thing's going to happen after you die is you're going to stand at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to have to give an answer for everything in your life, whether it's good or bad, you know? And here's the deal. I got to get you ready. I got to get you ready. I got to make sure when you show up there, you knew what you were supposed to do. And hopefully you're doing it. So you want to listen closely because I'm going to describe to you exactly what's expected of us. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, give eternally. Give eternally. How can you step up for generosity? Well, you have to move beyond this temporal world, which we focus on so much because we have to. I mean, we have temporal things we have to focus on. But we have to rise above that, and we have to give eternally. There's a book I'd recommend you read. There's some bones in there. Okay, you need to learn how to read books and eat the meat and spit out the bones, all right? And there are definitely some bones in this book, but there's lots of good meat. And you ought to read this book. It's a book written by Stephen Covey. And it's called 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person, or Highly Effective People. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit number 2 of 7 Habits of a Highly Effective People is this: begin with the end in mind. That title of that chapter, in that chapter, it changed my life. Always begin with the end in mind. When you start something, you got to think about there's going to be an end. And when it comes to generosity, you need to keep the end in mind. You need, like I said, you need to remember that one day you're going to give account of your life to God, and part of that is going to be your generosity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Why? Because on this earth, I mean, if you live your life totally for the things of this earth, moth, rust, destroy them, thieves break through and steal them. But here's the deal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves, underline that, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because here's the deal. There's not moth, there's not rust that destroy them, and thieves do not break through and steal them. Point number 2 is give cheerfully, and I'm not moving to point 2, but it says God loves a cheerful giver. And I got a whole sermon. I preached that sermon. I don't even know where it is. I need to find it, okay? But it was, I think I gave 10 reasons why you should be a cheerful giver. But here's a reason you ought to give cheerfully. You get to do something with your money that is going to last for eternity. I mean, just think about that. You literally, because so much of what we do with our money doesn't last, right? It doesn't last. I mean, we eat a meal that lasts a few hours. You know, we buy some clothes, it might last a few years or whatever. We buy a car, these things are going to pass away. Yes, we have to have them. Don't get me wrong, we have to have them. But at the same time, we got to realize how temporal they are. But when you give, you're giving eternally. You're able to take some of your hard-earned income that you've worked so hard for, and you can pour it into something that will last forever, you know? Boy, that ought to bring joy to you, right? That you can do something that will last. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, you know, money's a spiritual indicator, right? That's what the Bible says. Where you put your treasure, that is where your heart is. So just look at your treasure, and from God's perspective, maybe not your perspective, but from God's perspective, that's how he measures your life, you know. It's a tangible witness of what matters to you. What you do with your money is a tangible witness of what really matters to you. So you have to realize that, okay? You have to understand that. So number one, give eternally. Begin with the end in mind. You know, the end is going to be the judgment seat. Okay, you have to answer to God. And then, of course, we go into eternity. It's not really the end, but it's the end. It's really the kind of the culmination of your life is defined, I think, by the judgment seat of Christ. Then you go and spend eternity, hopefully, with the Lord if you have accepted Jesus, okay? Number two, do give cheerfully. Why? Because God cares about the amount you give. God's very clear about tithing, 10%, things like that. He's very, very clear about that, okay? He cares about the amount you give, but he also cares about your attitude in giving. Your attitude in giving. I mean, what does the Bible say? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Again, that whole idea of sowing and reaping. Not prosperity theology. That's from the pit of hell as far as I'm concerned, okay? But yes, God does bless us as we honor him and as we give. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So purpose in your heart to be generous. Purpose, that means decide beforehand that you're going to be generous. And then he gives two do nots. Do not do it grudgingly. What does that mean? Oh, okay, I'll give this money, or I'll give my tithes, I'll help the missionaries out or whatever. I don't really want to, you know. You know, I could take that money, I could go do this or whatever. That's giving grudgingly, you know. Don't give of necessity. Well, I guess church has to keep the lights on. I guess I'll give some money or whatever. No, that's why I know most of you have heard me take up so many offerings. It just blows over your head. But I almost every time say, let's worship the Lord with our offering. Why do I say that? You don't think I ain't got anything else to say? It's because more than anything, I want you to know it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. We worship by singing. We worship by praying. We worship by preaching. We worship by giving. Okay? It's an act of worship towards the Lord. So don't do it out of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. He cares about your attitude. Not just the amount, he cares about your attitude. And then give highly. Give highly. This brings us back to what we talked about last Sunday. I just took 1 or 2 minutes on it. And that is the first fruits, the law of the first fruits in Proverbs 3:9. Remember last week we talked about honor the Lord with your possessions. And last week I talked about 5 ways to honor God with your finances. And I told you, they're the foundation of money management. Those are the 5 foundations of managing your money. About honoring God. But I did mention, just because I knew you might want to know what it means, because it was our key verse last week. Our key verse last week is Proverbs 3:9. So I did explain it. It's called the first fruits. So about 25 times, I would estimate, the Bible talks about giving, and it talks about giving of the first fruits. Okay, in other words, God cares about the proportion you give, but he also cares about the portion you give. The portion you give. And so God doesn't just want you to be generous and give. God wants you to give of your first fruits, meaning the first thing you do with your income is you give. You see, you cannot say God is first in your life when he's last in your budget. Don't get mad at me. It's just what the Bible teaches, you know. You can't say God's first in your life when he's last in your budget. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Okay. Most of you are saying, oh, me. I got one amen. Amen. Okay. I mean, he wrote the book. I didn't write the book. Okay. So we're to give of the first fruits of our increase, meaning we get our increase, we get our pay, and what's the first thing you ought to do? You ought to give your tithes and offerings from that, okay? Genesis 4 is a very powerful statement to this. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn, circle that word, firstborn of his flock. Firstborn, circle that. And of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Not only that, the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Wow, that's quite a word. Respect. So what do you got here? You got the two children of Adam and Eve. The two boys. And there's Cain and there's Abel. And for their occupations, Cain became a farmer and Abel became a shepherd, right? Cain became a farmer and Abel became a shepherd. So here's the deal. So one farmed and one brought an offering to the Lord, okay? The other, the shepherd, brought an offering. But notice the key word is the firstborn of his flock, the firstborn. See, Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. So he did give. It wasn't like he didn't give. You know, he gave, okay? But the difference was Abel followed the first fruits. And he actually gave of the firstborn of his flock. And notice what it says. The Lord respected Abel and his offering. Key word is respect. Respect. Why? Because it showed that God was first, you know? That God was first. Like I said last Sunday, he's not a leftovers God. You pay this, have $7 over, left over, you give $7. I'm not saying God doesn't appreciate that. God doesn't, you know, that's good, okay? Don't get me wrong. But the issue is giving the first fruits, you know? Giving the first fruits. And again, the statement is he did not respect Cain and his offering because he gave the leftovers. He gave an offering, but he gave the leftovers. And so give highly. Give highly. Give a first fruits offering to the Lord. Number four, give systematically. Give systematically. Giving should be routine, not random. The Bible teaches that it's a routine thing we do. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches. So, circle the word churches. So, where should you give? Okay, your primary giving, that's not be all your giving, okay? But I believe your primary giving ought to be your local church, okay? The tithe for sure ought to go to the local church. And if you want to give offerings to other things, that's fine or whatever, okay? We should support our church. And then it says when to give on the first day of the week, meaning it should be a routine. It should be some type of routine that you've established. Who's to give? Each one of us are to give. We're supposed to lay it aside. We're supposed to set it aside. And we're supposed to give as God has prospered us. And again, that's talking about proportionate giving. I think it's talking about tithing, proportionate giving, as God has prospered you. So if God gave you $10, you ought to give at least $1. If God gave you $100, you ought to give at least $10. If God gave you $1,000, you ought to give at least $100. Proportionate giving, as God has prospered you. Why? So there'll be no collection when I come, meaning it's just routine, okay? It's not a crisis, oh my goodness, look there. You know, it should just be routine, okay? We do it on a systematic basis. It's a systematic part of our lifestyle. And then number five, give automatically. Give automatically. Now, I want to encourage you. We mentioned this last week. Heather mentioned this in her testimony. But I want to come back and talk about this because this is something that's really on my heart, okay? Give automatically. So I want to talk to you about considering automating your giving. Now, there are many reasons you ought to think about doing this. But one of them is 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful." Found faithful. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be faithful however you give, okay? If you give cash or you give through the offering plate or, I understand there's many ways to be faithful. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I'm telling you one way that you can improve, maybe improve, your faithfulness, being found faithful, is to simply automate your giving. Now, a lot of us have automated things in our lives, you know? And my coach, Nelson Searcy, my coach, he doesn't pay, he has every bill in his life automated. It's a big time saver, okay? It's a big time saver. And so one of the things you ought to consider is online giving. Now, we've had online giving in our church for years, okay? But recently, God's just really been challenging me to challenge us to consider online giving. And one of the things that happened to me several months ago, about a year ago now, I was in this meeting with about 300 pastors. And there was one of these, there's these companies that do online giving for churches. That's their specialty, okay? We've chosen SecureGive. SecureGive was actually the first company, okay? They were actually the first ones to have giving kiosks and things like that, okay? And so they've been around a long, long time, all right? But this was another company. But the guy got up there, and here's what he said. He says, "I want you to raise your hand if you have a checkbook with you." Now, I would say 75% of the room were, you know, middle-aged people like myself, or whatever, okay? Younger people like myself, or whatever, okay? The point I'm trying to make is, I mean, most of us were a little older, okay? There was a good, healthy number of 20-something-year-olds and things like that, these younger pastors, okay? Two pastors said they had a checkbook with them. Two. Some of you saying, "I can't believe it. They didn't have their checkbook with them?" Yeah, they didn't have their checkbook with them, okay? And that got me thinking about the culture we're living in, you know? And, you know, one of the things we need to learn and focus on a little more is different ways to give, okay? And so online giving is a way to give, okay? You can go to capitalbaptist.org, and there's a tab there that says giving, or you can actually go directly to Secure Give. Now, one of the things you need to understand is you can set up what's called recurring giving. And what that simply means is you can go in there and you can set up your giving so you don't ever have to even think about it again. You can change it anytime you want. If you come on bad times or something happens, you can lower it, get rid of it. You can raise it if you want. You know, you get a bonus or something, you need to get more, you get a raise, you need to increase it, or you just feel like you want to increase your giving. You say, "I'm not going to give anything. I hate you, Steve Reynolds. I hate Capital Baptist Church. Just shut it down." You know, whatever. I mean, you're in control, okay? You're in control. But the whole idea there is you don't even have to think about it. And you might want to think about this for a lot of your bills, okay? Another way that a lot of people in our church I actually asked Brenda, our financial administrator, she was making a deposit yesterday, and she, I think there was eight that just come in the mail the last couple of days, and like three of them were this here, okay? Bill pay at your bank. Okay, you can go to your bank, and you can set things up to pay your bills automatically, okay? And you can, again, you can pay any bill you want to pay or whatever, okay? This is a time saver for all of life, but maybe one application is your giving, okay? You're giving. You go in there and say, "Okay, this is what I want to give for the general funds, want to give for the missions, whatever you want to give." I mean, it's just another way to be found faithful. That way, if you say, "Oh, I don't have the cash with me today, I don't know where my checkbook is," or any of that stuff, you don't have to worry about it, okay? You don't have to worry about it. And you can, you know, get your device out and give right in church or what. You can do it anyway. So think about giving automatically, okay? Giving automatically. And then lastly, give obediently. Give obediently. Truly give at least 10% of your total gross income. Now, I add that word truly because God adds that word in Deuteronomy 14:22. It's not in your notes. Write it out to the side. Deuteronomy 14:22, it says this. "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase." Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase. Wonder why God said truly? Well, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can come up with some fuzzy math, you know? I mean, God said, truly, make sure you're truly giving the tithe, you know? And so I say that. Now, the tithe is the minimum offering taught in the Bible, okay? There's nothing lower, okay? There are many examples way beyond the tithe, okay? Way beyond the tithe. And we need to grow in the grace of giving. But the point is, the minimum gift is the 10%. And I put down here gross income because that's a common question. People ask me, do I give from my gross or my net? And the answer is the gross. And the simple reason, which is so clear, is taxes are a bill. Do you understand that? It's a bill. Your taxes are a bill. So you don't pay your electric bill and then tithe off of that, okay? Nor should you pay your taxes and say, oh, okay, I'll go down to the next level or whatever. Some of us have to write a check to pay our taxes. Some of us have it directly out of our paycheck or whatever. But the point is, it's a bill, okay? It's one of the bills you owe. Hallelujah, okay? Don't you love it, okay? We love what we get from it, right? Amen, okay? So let's talk about this 10% thing, okay? Abraham commenced tithing. Tithing started thousands of years, about 6,000-7,000 years ago, tithing started. So this has been around a little while, okay? I don't think any of you are 6,000-7,000 years old, right? Okay? So it goes all the way back to this guy named Abraham. And the Bible says in Genesis 14, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, Melchizedek is what we call a type of Christ, okay? There are things in the Old Testament that foreshadow the New Testament. And you see the bread and the wine, that's a picture of Jesus, okay? The body of Jesus, the bread, the blood of Jesus, the cup, the wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessors of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Underline this, he gave him tithes of all. So this is where we see the first reference to tithing in the Bible, okay? Tithing in the Bible. He gave tithes of all, okay? And again, Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus. And it says that gave to the Most High God. And then Jacob continued tithing. We see this going right on through the Bible from beginning to end. Genesis 28 says, this stone which you have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, underline this, I will surely give the tenth. I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And so Jacob continues tithing. He continues tithing. And I love that wording. He made a vow. He made a vow. He says, I will surely give the tenth. I will surely give the tenth. And then, back page of our notes, Moses consecrated tithing. Now we see the tithe being incorporated into the law. There was also a tithe like was paying your taxes and things like that. They set up a whole structure. But there was a tithe, the 10%, that was to go into the storehouse. That was go into the temple, to take care of the temple, all right? And the Bible says, Moses says, he wrote here, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is a sacred thing in the sense that it is holy unto the Lord. It's to be set aside to the Lord in that way. And then Jesus commanded tithing. Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talks about tithing. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe. Notice this, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, like judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done. Underline that, talking about tithing. These ought you to have done, but not leave the other undone. Okay, this is important. I've pastored people before, and man, they're all about the tithe. I mean, people are coming to my mind right now. Okay, nobody in this room, of course. Okay, nobody in this room, okay? But man, I mean, the tithe, they wouldn't miss a tithe for the world. They live like the devil in so many different areas of their Christian life, you know? This is just one area of discipline in your Christian life. But Jesus commended them for that. If Jesus wanted to say tithing's over, he could have right now would have been his perfect time saying, oh, no problem. Okay, you didn't die, no big deal. Okay, we're done with that kind of stuff. No, he says, good job. Good job. That's something you ought to do, okay? But don't forget the other areas of the Christian life, okay? Don't forget the other areas of the Christian life. And I say to you, tithe, but don't forget the other areas of the Christian life. And then lastly, Paul confirmed tithing. This is my personal favorite tithing verse. Okay, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Maybe he didn't. Okay, but whoever wrote Hebrews put this, Hebrews 7:8. And here men that die receive the tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now this to me is one of the coolest verses of the Bible. So in a few minutes, very few now, we're about ready to finish up here. I'm going to say, let's receive the offering. And these ushers are going to stand up and they're going to receive the tithes. And these are people that that are going to take up this offering, but they're going to die. Okay, David, good to see you here today. David and his wife, they moved to Florida. You going to usher today, David? Okay, get your butt back there when we call for the offering. Right? Not now, okay? You guys broke my heart when you moved to Florida. Don't ever do that again. Okay, anyway, okay? They're still in Florida. But I've had many ushers through the years. I can name dead ushers, okay? So you don't want to be an usher. You probably will die, whatever, okay? But these people taking up off, they're all going to die, you know? I'm going to die. One day I'll be dead and gone, you know? Wouldn't that be cool if I said, let's worship the Lord with our offering, and bam, I died right here. It happens. Pastors die in the pulpit, you know? Let's move forward, okay? Let's not have that image, okay? But here's what the verse says. Men that die receive the tithes, but there he receives them. Why? Because when you give, you're storing up, you're laying up treasure in heaven. Who is the one that receives them? He that lives. Who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. You know, I find it so funny, and I think about this. If I said, oh, Jesus is here today. Welcome, Jesus. He says, Pastor, do you mind if I take the offering today? Sure, Jesus, you can take up the offering. Go ahead and pass the plate. Man, you'd be crawling around looking for spare change and your checkbook. And you know, if you had any money in your pocket, you'd be unloading it. You'd be, because Jesus is receiving the tithes. And he'd pass by and say, Jesus, I forgot my checkbook today. Okay, well, he says, you can give online. Okay. Okay. You can give online. Get your phone out. You can do it right now. Just pull it up, capitalbaptist.org. Hit the giving tab there. You can do it right now. He'd probably wait for you to finish out or whatever, okay? Folks, he does receive the tithes. He does receive the tithes. At least he should receive the tithes. Every once in a while, I like to do a challenge. Now, the reason I do challenges, you know I challenge you on different things. Here's why. I've learned in my Christian life the value of challenges. I could give you dozens of examples. I remember one time my pastor challenged us to read the Bible in a year. I was 11 years old. Do you know what? I read my Bible through the first time when I was like 11 years old. And I continued that for many years, you know? You know why? Because I was challenged. I was challenged. Here's the deal. Take your connection card, flip it over the back, and I want to challenge you to tithe. And now, I got the title up here, God's Tithe Challenge. It's not Steve Reynolds' tithe challenge. It's God's tithe challenge. Because God says this, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And here's what God's challenge is. Prove me now. He's getting in our face, and he's saying, hey, prove me on this. See if I won't bless you, says the Lord of hosts. So I want to challenge you to take God's challenge. Now, I've got down here 4 months. Now, here's the deal. This isn't for new people. This is for everybody. You may be an old tither like me, or you may be a new tither. But Debbie and I are going to take the challenge. Okay, we're going to fill this out. Okay, now we intend to keep going after May, whatever. But for you all that are new, it's kind of scary to do this. So I just want to consider, would you be willing to say, okay, God, for the next 4 months, February, March, April, May, I'm going to give at least the tithe, okay? I'm going to take your challenge. Let's think about that being a next step today. Would you do that? And then, number two, would you think about automating your giving, okay? You don't have to do this. You might be faithful in whatever way you do. Go for it, okay? But maybe you ought to automate your giving. Maybe you ought to go and set it up on online for recurring donation. Or maybe you need to go to your bank. And maybe you ought to do this for a lot of your bills, if not all your bills. Again, my coach, Nelson, literally doesn't pay a single bill. He's got his whole life automated. It's crazy, okay? He says it's such a time saver. He doesn't even have to think about this stuff, you know? There's lots of ways we could do that, you know? So maybe you want to make that a next step, to go and automate your giving. But I encourage you to take at least one next step. And it'd be awesome if all of us would be willing to accept God's tithe challenge today, you know? Again, step up for generosity. Step up for generosity. And I would encourage you to look at your life. Some of you are miserable right now, you know? And I'm telling you, not necessarily, but probably, it's just you're just such a selfish person, you know? You're never going to find happiness in yourself, you know? You're not. It's when we give of ourselves, that's when we fulfill the purpose God made us. Generous people are blessed people, says Jesus. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and the truth of it. In Jesus' name, amen.